FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is March 27th, 2017. Hard to believe the first quarter of the year is just about gone. By the way, any questions on this interview or any others that we do, always send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, and we answer all or do our best to do so anyway. So, person you're about to hear from, real interesting story, interesting career path, more interesting than mine even. Name is Craig Cody. Craig, a fellow New Yorker, born and raised on Long Island, and he followed his father into the family business. Mainly, he entered the NYPD, and then from there, spent 17 years in the NYPD, retired as a lieutenant. So obviously you were headed for management, but you had better ideas. You became a CPA, joined a CPA firm, and interesting career path, Craig, and we're thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's interesting. It's just as exciting, trust me, just as exciting when you get to save people a bunch of money.
Well, you know, I see a commonality in it. Basically, as a cop, you're a problem solver in one way or another. You get called to a domestic dispute, a robbery in progress, or whatever job you get called out on, it's a problem. And you have to think on your feet, and you have to solve it. And when people come to see you about their taxes, whether it's planning as a tax coach or whether it's doing their taxes after the fact, you're dealing with problems and you have to solve them, and you have to come up with ways that basically you're going to keep them out of trouble and keep them on the right side of the law. So it's really not that much different in theory as being a police officer, is it?
No, it's really not. You're right. It definitely, there's a lot of commonality. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really, and you have to act quickly. It's really quite similar. You've got to come up with quick workable solutions for a broad range of people with different needs and different issues in their lives. And so, you know, just like on the street, when you're dealing with people with law enforcement issues and people with tax issues, those problems can be really serious and can ruin your life.
Yeah, they can. They can. And that's where we come in and try and make them so they don't ruin your life. You know, planning is important.
Yeah.
You know, people do a lot of research, you know, where they're going on vacation, where they're going to do this. But most people don't spend a lot of time doing any research on, you know, how to minimize their taxes.
So you're a certified tax coach?
Yeah, I'm a CPA and certified tax coach.
What's a certified tax coach exactly?
What that means is that I'm part of a group of about 100 people throughout the country that we go for extensive training. We have monthly continuing education calls, and we look for legal ways to help our clients reduce or minimize their tax burden.
So obviously you've dealt with a lot of people, and many of the people you dealt with have spent their lives way, way overpaying their taxes, haven't they?
Yes, I would say, you know, the average person that we do a tax plan for, we're saving them about $20,000 a year. So, if you could get that back, it would be wonderful.
Oh, for sure. So what's the most common thing that you do that you overpay taxes?
I would say the biggest mistake after failing to plan, because most people do fail to plan, but after that, and that's a catch-all, it would be, you know, choosing the wrong entity type for your business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, typically what people do when they're forming a business, they talk to their attorney or they talk to a friend and they go on LegalZoom and they form a business, and whether they form an LLC or a corporation or an S corporation, they don't do any real tax research on it. If they're dealing with an attorney, they're looking at the liability protection. So what I say is, you know, have the attorney and your CPA communicate, and then you could get the best of both worlds. Because sometimes the right entity choice, a lot of times the right entity choice can mean the difference in, you know, a lot of dollars in taxes.
Right. So how does that translate into picking the right entity and saving you money?
Well, depending on what you're doing, and everybody's situation is a little bit different. You know, does an LLC make the most sense for you? What kind of deductions are you allowed inside of an LLC that you're not allowed inside of an S corporation? You know, sometimes we have people where, you know, they have a lot of medical expenses, but it doesn't exceed the maximum, you know, to make it deductible on their personal return. And, you know, we could show them, well, if you're an LLC, you could set up a medical expense reimbursement plan and you could directly write off those expenses. Then you have those that are working. They, you know, a lot of people they're working for somebody and they're running another business on the side until they could really get that business really up and running. And, you know, they may be set up as an S corp and maybe they need to be an LLC, you know. So it really depends on each person's particular situation to determine why or what entity is best for them.
And I guess a lot of this is in your book that you co-authored, Secrets of a Tax-Free Life?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff in Secrets of a Tax-Free Life, which was an Amazon bestseller about 3 or 4 years ago. I co-authored that with 9 other people. And it's also in my latest book, which is the 10 Most Expensive Tax Mistakes That Cost Business Owners Thousands. And that we'll make that available to your listeners for free on through a link.
Oh, excellent. All right. And we'll have that link in the show notes, by the way. So, hey, you're starting out, and I know laws change, tax laws change, just like the seasons. Do you put your kids in your LLC or not?
Probably not. Depending on what's going on, maybe there's other ways you can do. You know, there's tax law that says you could actually hire your child as young as 7 to work in your business. I typically don't like to hire 7-year-olds. I wait till 10, 11 years old.
Till they've matured, huh?
They're a little bit older. You have to do all the documentation, and there's ways to where you can actually even set that up so you're not even paying self-employment tax for those kids. And then, you know, that money gets paid into a certain bank account for them, and maybe, you know, their private school tuition they pay out of there. And now all of a sudden your private school tuition is deductible because the child's paying it. You're not. So there's a lot of different things you can do, and you could use the same thing for camps and, you know, sports camps and, you know, depending on what the person is doing. That's why everybody's situation is a little bit different, and that's why every plan is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking like the average person, maybe not a business owner, what's something that you see an average Joe Sixpack that they overlook almost always in their tax planning and their tax filing?
Well, we typically don't do tax plans for individuals that are just W-2s. You know, it's usually business owners or real estate investors. But for a regular W-2 person, the biggest thing is not funding their 401k or, you know, 403b.
Mm-hmm. And what's a 403b?
403b is this. It's like a 401k. It's just a little bit different because it's typically dealing with like a not-for-profit or a school or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very similar to a 401k.
Ah, I see. Okay. And what about these medical savings accounts? Is that a good deal for somebody self-employed?
Somebody self-employed, yes, especially if they have kids or they have high medical expenses or have kids that are getting braces or they're getting cosmetic dentistry, which can be very expensive. So now you have a way to write that off because the current tax code says you can write that off on your personal return, but the first 10% of your adjusted gross income is not deductible. So if you're making $100,000 a year, the first $10,000 of medical expenses is not deductible.
I see. So, but with the medical savings account, and the first $10,000 that you put into it, or you're allowed to put $10,000 into it, and it comes off?
No, if it's a medical expense reimbursement plan, you're, depending on how you set it up, but you would set it up so that you can write off all those out-of-pocket costs.
Ah, interesting. So basically for the middle class, upper middle class, the only real tax shelter they have, aside from owning a home, is being in business for yourself. Right?
Yes, which can create a lot of tax shelters.
Right, because obviously you're in business, you have to travel, you do a lot of entertaining of clients, et cetera, and right, that leads to all sorts of interesting write-off potential.
Correct. And when you work with your CPA or your advisor throughout the year, they can better guide you to do those things versus when you go to them this time of year, it's kind of too late for them to help you. So right. We talk about communicating with your advisor on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and as in our clients, we communicate with them on a regular basis because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So if you have those conversations, then your advisor knows what's going on. I like to tell people, you know, your doctor doesn't call you up and say, are you sick today? So you need to communicate to him when you're sick. The same thing with your CPA or advisor. You need to communicate with them so they know what you're doing so they could best guide you to do it in the most tax efficient way.
Right. Yeah. So planning in advance, forethought is always a plus when it comes to taxes.
Yes. Well, most definitely.
Right. And so I guess, but most people are wage earners and W-2 employees, so they really pay the highest tax rate on the books, don't they?
Yeah, well, because there's nothing that they have that's a business write-off, you know, that they can write off. So the only real write-off they have is their mortgage, typically real estate taxes, charitable donations, and their you know, retirement plan contributions, which can turn into a big write-off.
Right, but not as advantageous as being in your own company or having your own company.
Correct.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. So I guess people think I'll make the money first and then I'll worry about the taxes. And that's the wrong attitude.
That's definitely the wrong attitude. You know, you want to, you know, take the time to plan so you and your advisor can figure out the best things and the best way to structure things to give you the biggest, you know, deductions and tax savings.
Interesting. So I see also that a growing business is offering CFO services to growing businesses. How does that work?
Well, that's, you know, to your larger small businesses, that's a service that we offer where instead of having your in-house accountant or your in-house controller or CFO, they hire our firm and we provide them with a bookkeeper, a CPA, and then myself for the big picture stuff. And it's, you know, with the internet, you know, you're able to do things remotely that years ago you could not do. And you get the ability to scale and you also get the ability to, you know, look at that cost. Instead of having that high paid controller doing all these things, we're able to, you know, scale it down where you're paying a bookkeeper for certain things, a CPA for certain things, and myself for the high level thinking type of work.
Interesting. Yeah. So do you recommend that everybody do their books online or?
I'm not a fan of the online versions of accounting tools that are out there. What we do is we keep the books for our clients. Some of those clients want access to them. We give them access to it. But this way we know what's going on and, you know, we could respond to them in a more time efficient manner when they have questions versus sending files back and forth. And I've just found the online versions of what's out there is not as robust as what you would get on the regular, what I call the desktop versions.
So they're a little stripped down, huh?
Yes.
Interesting. So go for the full-blown version that you have on your own system there. Probably less potential to get hacked and better security there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, we have the best type of security that you can have. And, you know, everybody's looking to hack everything today. So you always have to be careful what you download. But it's worked well for us. It's worked well for our clients. You know, when it works well for everybody, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And obviously, you should get your accounting system set up before you start operating your company rather than playing catch up.
Right. Well, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you do it as an ongoing project, when you're doing it yourself versus doing it at the end of the year, when you do it at the end of the year, you miss a lot of things. You just don't remember what things did I pay for on my credit card, maybe what things did I pay cash for. Whereas when you do it on a regular basis, you tend not to forget that stuff.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's fresh in your mind. You're going to remember rather than looking back a year later and saying, oh, what was that one for? And then you have to go research it and you're pressed for time. So always better to do it now, right?
Yeah, do it now.
Yeah. So anything else, any other general advice that you've come across since you started doing this that you feel is invaluable?
I think the most value comes from, you know, remembering you make your money doing what you do in your business and leave the accounting and the bookkeeping to a professional and choose a professional who's going to be proactive and look out for you versus going to somebody at year end or at this time of year when they're recording history versus making history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting way, because it's just history, really. You're keeping your books. It's just the history of your business, effectively.
Right. And most accountants are very good at putting the right numbers in the right boxes. But, you know, if you want to do it right, you want to be proactive and look for those, you know, opportunities that are out there.
Yeah.
And that comes with communication.
Interesting. So communication, best way to communicate with your CPA?
Yeah. You listen, whatever works, whether it's texting, whether it's phone calls, whether it's email, everybody has their own, you know, preferred method to talk. And, you know, that's kind of the way we do it. We've actually set up a text phone in our office for those people that like to be texted. They don't want messages. They don't want email. And whatever the client likes is the way we go. And obviously there are times when you need to have, you know, face-to-face communication or a phone call. But, you know, for your general day-to-day activities, it's typically, you know, people prefer email or they prefer text.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So yeah, you have to adapt. I mean, accounting's been around, I guess, since the abacus, and it's so easy to just not want to bother with it because it's not the exciting part of starting a new business, right? I mean, it's really the drudgery of it, right? I mean,
right, because yeah. most people look at accounting as a cost center,
yeah,
versus a profit center. And we try and tell you, let our clients know, no, this is a profit center. If we spend the time to do the planning that's needed, instead of costing you money, the accounting process is going to make you money because you're going to save more tax.
Yeah. Hold on to what you have rather exactly. What you've made rather than pay it off to the government, which is unconstitutional, right?
Right. Keep more of what you make. That's what it comes down to.
That's great. People want to find out more about you, Craig, and talk to you, consult. What's the best way to connect with you?
Well, they could go to our website, which is www.craigcodyandcompany.com. They could also request a free paper copy of our book, which is craigcodyandcompany.com/ F is in financial, S is in survival, N is in network. And they can request a copy of our book. Our office number is 516-869-4051. And email is craig@ccodycpa.com. And I'll give you all that information for your show notes.
All right. We will have it in the show notes. Appreciate you coming on. Again, any questions, comments, send us an email, kl@carrielutz.com. That's kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Craig, thanks so much for coming on. Really interesting perspective on finance and taxes. And wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me. And all the best to you and your listeners.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.